Welcome to Daily in the Word, a ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. For more from Dr. Chappell, visit his blog at paulchappell.com. And for books and other resources for Christian growth, visit strivingtogether.com.
The root system of a tree is what holds it in place, keeps it stable, and provides strength and nourishment. Friend, how's your root system doing? Next on Daily in the Word with Paul Chappell, we're going to study Rooted in Christ. Stay with us. If you don't have a healthy spiritual root system, then every other part of your life is impacted negatively. Your root system is what holds you in place when storms come and trials and difficulty. Your root system is what draws nutrients into your life and provides spiritual strength and stability and hope. And friend, the Bible says we're to be rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. This program comes to you every Monday through Friday, and as we begin a new year, we're beginning with a new series, Rooted in Christ. I hope you'll take a moment to visit online, dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. You'll find on the website a link to a daily devotional from Dr. Chappell that will help you become more rooted and grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ in the new year. You'll find links to lots of other resources that will help you to grow spiritually, and much more information about Pastor Chappell and his ministry at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Well, now we invite you to open your Bible to 2 John as we study today, Rooted in Christ's Truth. Here's Paul Chappell.
And I'll tell you what, it was so sweet when she'd say, I sure miss you and I sure love you. And boy, I'd read that over. I'd smell that perfume, you know. It was awesome. Now I'm going to tell you something. It was awesome because I loved her and she loved me and we were just telling each other about it. And I'm going to tell you something. I took time to read those letters. And I'm going to tell you why you don't read the Word of God. It is because you don't love Him like you should. It's not because you're so Mr. Busy. Or miss busy. It certainly is not because any of us in here need more time to count our billions of dollars. It's not because any of us are so big or so important or have so much. It many times boils down not to a lack of time, but to a lack of interest. And I just am saying this morning, we've got to get back to that place where we are interested in our God once again. How many of you remember when you first got saved? How many of you remember when you first started going to church? How many of you remember when you first got a Bible and you were interested in it and you wanted Him and you wanted to know what His Word said? I'm saying we have got to walk in the truth by reading the Word of God and studying the Word of God, 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God and memorizing the Word of God, Psalm 119, verse 111. Thy Word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. And that's why we have some programs this year for our teenagers to help them memorizing the scriptures, and with the men next week the same, just getting into the Word of God. And then fourthly, let me say, pray for an understanding of the Word of God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10 that God will reveal unto us by His Spirit the truth of the Word of God. And if you want to know what God's Word means, God says, I'm going to show you. The Holy Spirit is the illuminator. He's the teacher. He'll put some light on the subject if you'll ask Him to. And then, of course, we've got to apply the Word of God and really live it out each and every day. That's what it means to walk in the truth. My responsibility with the truth is not just to come to church on Sunday and then set it down for the rest of the week. My responsibility is to walk with it, to read it, to study it, to love it, to hear what it has to say, to try to apply it to my life and the way that I live. And then secondly, my responsibility to the truth is that I am to be a witness of the truth. You say, oh, you mean soul winning. You mean like telling others. Well, certainly that's one way. And I believe in soul winning. And I believe we ought to pass out gospel tracts and witness to our friends. But that's not primarily what John was telling the lady to do. Notice what he tells her to do in verse 5. He says, "And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments." He said, one of the best ways that we can be a witness is that we should love one another. If we live out what the Bible says, then we are walking in the truth and we are witnessing for the truth. John 13:34 says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." God says, I want you to witness of my love. You know, the fact is that when two Christians are encouraging each other, or maybe a Christian family is doing well, it is a great testimony to the power of our God and to the wonder-working power of his salvation. And then there's a third aspect to my responsibility with the truth. Listen carefully. I have a responsibility with the truth to warn you of the errors doctrinally that exist in this day. And you have a responsibility with the truth to warn your family and warn your friends of the errors that abound in this day. So we have a responsibility to walk in the truth, to live the truth, but also to warn people. Now look what it says in verse 7. For many, what's the next word say? Okay, find verse 7 in your Bible. Come on, men. Some of you guys intentionally open your Bible, look at it. Verse number 7. I'm looking at you now. Find it. Read it with me. Here we go now. The Bible says in verse 7, for many, what's the next word say? Deceivers. Okay. So in the last days, there's going to be a lot of deceivers, spiritually speaking. Many deceivers are entered into the world. You say, well, Pastor Chappell, what's the key way of knowing a deceiver? Look at the rest of the verse. Who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. The central issue with false teachers is this. What do they believe about Jesus Christ? What do they say about Jesus Christ? And I want you to see, according to the Bible, the prevalence of deceivers. Because we need to be warned of the deceivers in the last day. The word deceiver means an imposter or one that does corrupt. And we need to be warned that there are deceivers trying to pull baby Christians away, trying to get people to never become a Christian in the first place. Several years ago at the Olympics in Sydney, they were interviewing a runner from Kenya by the name of Kip Laggett. And they said to him, Kip, why is it that so many runners from Africa win the gold medal in the long distance running? They're so fast. And Kip thought about that for just a moment. He thought about his strategy and his success in training. He said, you know, I'm not exactly sure why we win so many gold medals, but I think it might have something to do with the road signs in Africa. And the reporter said, well, what road sign are you talking about? And Kip said, one comes to my mind. It says, beware of lions. How many of you think that one might motivate you to be a very fast long-distance runner? Well, I'm going to tell you something. Every Christian needs to beware of lions of deception theologically, because there are false teachers that are abounding. Now, you might think sometimes, wow, Pastor Chappell, you know, he names names, or he kind of gets going and really tough on false teachers. I'm going to tell you something. In the first century, they didn't mince words about it. In fact, notice what it says there. They are deceivers and an anti-Christ. Anti meaning against or in opposition to Christ. Those in the first century caught up in Gnosticism, those who denied the bodily resurrection of Christ, those who denied that Jesus was God in the flesh, he said, I'm going to tell you what they are. They are antichrist because they are denying Jesus. Now, we live in a day when many do the same. And it's interesting. No one wants to call a name. No one wants to be politically incorrect. Everybody wants to act like all roads lead to heaven. I'm going to tell you something. Someone who denies Jesus Christ as the Son of God is not on their way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. So you can have your multiculturalism and you can have your doctrinal diversity, but my Bible says, broad is the road to destruction, narrow is the way of salvation. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way. You see, friends, today it's not our job to try to rewrite or paraphrase God's truth. It's our job to believe what the Bible says about Jesus, and the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You say, well, I had someone from the Jehovah Witness come by, and they said that Jesus began his existence in Bethlehem's manger and that he's something less than God the Father and not a part of the Trinity. I want to tell you, my friend, the Bible says something else, and the Bible is very clear. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Someone else might say, well, I had some boys come by on bicycles, and they told me that Jesus Christ, according to the pearl of great price, that Jesus Christ was a man who became God. I want to remind you, my friend, that Jesus Christ is eternally God, and that Jesus Christ was the very Son of God on this earth, and that he died for our sin on an old rugged cross. Someone says, but don't you realize, Pastor Chapel, that there's probably a billion Muslims, and according to Muhammad, that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God. In fact, he taught that God had no sons at all. I say to you again, there are many antichrists in the world today, but if you want salvation, you must come to the place where you see yourself as a sinner in need of a Savior, and you recognize there is one who is worthy to be called the Savior, and that one is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I'm not preaching to you today the merit of being a Baptist or a Pentecostal or a Presbyterian. I'm not telling you if you give money to that building, you're going to go to heaven. I'm telling you one single thing. There is none other name given under heaven, given amongst men, whereby you must be saved. And that name is Jesus Christ. That's his name. That's his name. And I want to warn you that anyone who says Jesus is something other than the Son of God is not your friend. And he's not the friend of your family. But there is a friend that is faithful. There is a friend that is true, and his name is Jesus Christ. He loved you so much that he, as the eternal Son of God, left heaven's glory, and he was born of the Virgin Mary, and he lived a perfectly sinless life on this earth, and then he went to the old rugged cross, and there he shed his blood, and that blood alone is efficacious to cover the sins of the entire world. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but Jesus washed it whiter than snow. I'll tell you my responsibility with the Bible, to walk in the truth. My responsibility with the Bible, to witness of the truth. My responsibility, to warn of those deceivers who deny the truth about Jesus Christ. And don't you get sucked in to that broad road, let's all hold hands, we all believe the same thing. You better make sure who you're holding hands with, you better make sure that they believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You say, oh, but Pastor Chapel, it doesn't matter to me exactly what they believe, we're just holding hands for the common cause of equal rights. Hey, equal rights is great, but you're not going to get to heaven because you marched down the street for equal rights. You're going to get to heaven because you trust Jesus as your personal Savior, you see. That's what it's all about. It's all about Jesus. I've known a lot of Baptists who've marched in a lot of marches who've never been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. How sad. How sad. Oh, my friend, we must warn of the fallacy of not receiving Christ and believing that all roads lead to the same place. Look at what it says in your notes there from 1 John 2:23. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Oh, listen, we need to hear the warning today. Look what he says in verse 8 to the lady. He says, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. He says, lady, don't forget the things I've taught you. Don't lose the things that you've been taught. Now listen very carefully. That's not to say that you can lose your salvation. How many of you thank God that when you're saved, truly saved, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit? But he says, lady, look at verse 8 there. He says, look to yourself that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. You say, well, what reward is he talking about? Have you ever heard of the judgment seat of Jesus Christ? Did you know that we have an opportunity one day to stand before the Lord and to be rewarded for our faithfulness to him? Look at that, 2 Corinthians 5:10. for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Listen, he's saying, lady, don't lose your reward. Don't get into some false teaching. Don't start into this broad-mindedness to the point of slipping away from the truth of Jesus Christ. Don't lose the reward that you could receive at the judgment seat of Christ. You have a responsibility to the truth. Don't dibble-dabble with false teaching. Be faithful. I'm warning you, lady. Be faithful, because one day you're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, those of you that are saved and you know Jesus, let me encourage you in these last days in which we live. I want to encourage you. Get rooted down in Jesus Christ. Get rooted down in the Word of God. Don't be a tumbleweed Christian going over to this teaching and that teaching and this way and that way. I'm saying go ahead and get rooted on down deeply in the Lord Jesus Christ, lest you're deceived by the false teachers and lose the reward that you could receive at the judgment seat of Christ. Our relationship to the truth, it's what brings us together. Our responsibility to walk, to witness, to warn. But notice finally this morning, our reward in the truth. Do you know there's a reward to someone who's faithful in the truth? There are rewards for those who are found in the truth. And I want you to see those as we close this morning. Look at verse 9. Wherefore, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Now please look at that. By the way, you walk out of here this morning having an argument, it's not going to be with me, it's going to be with this book right here, and I'll just tell you right now, I don't write it, I just recite it. All right? So I want you to read this with me now. Some of you might be new this morning, so I want you to at least, on the way out, I want you to have a cart full of Bible in your heart. Look what the Bible says in verse 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Someone says, well, I believe Jesus is a good way, and Allah and Buddha, and they're all good. Bible says, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you don't have God. Okay? This isn't the base chapel. This isn't an ecumenical service. This is Lancaster Baptist Church. I checked the sign on my way in this morning. And I'm telling you, if you don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't know God. Okay? Look what else it says in verse 9. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. How many of you this morning are abiding in the doctrine of Christ? You have the Father and the Son. You have both the Father and the Son. So what is my reward with receiving the truth? First of all, I have the reward of an eternal relationship. An eternal relationship. You see, an unbeliever cannot know God. John plainly states that anyone who alters, adds to, denies, or misrepresents what the Bible says does not have God. Unbelievers cannot know God. But a true believer, someone that receives Christ, is rooted in the truth of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 9 again. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. And my friend, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you have the assurance of an eternal relationship with the Father through the Son. Sometimes we sing that in our hymns, come to the Father through the Son. And Jesus is the mediator. Listen very carefully. The Baptist church is not the mediator. You do not go to heaven. You do not meet the Father through the Baptist church. And you do not meet the Father through a Catholic priest. There is one God. And there is one mediator between God and man, and it is the man, Christ Jesus. If you want to know God, if you want to know eternity in heaven with God, then come to the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I've got some good news for you. That verse is true whether Tim Tebow wins or loses. The Word of God still stands. Whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, what a blessing. 1 John 5 and verse 20 says it this way, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So my reward and yours is an eternal home in heaven with him. But also, I want to close with this. Your reward and mine is an earthly fellowship here on this earth. Now look as we close at verse 10. He says to this lady, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Now, he says, the blessing of fellowship is for us who are believers. But if someone comes to your house and they deny Jesus and they want to preach that false gospel, don't have them in the house, lady. That's not saying you cannot have unsaved friends and so forth. You might have unsaved friends you're trying to witness to them. But if someone is there with the purpose of persuading you against Jesus Christ, he says to this lady who had people to her home, who was probably a good cook, he says, you have a wonderful mercy gift and a wonderful giving gift, but let me help you with discernment here. Don't let someone in your home that's going to deny Jesus Christ in your midst. Don't bring someone in that's going to tear down the truth of Jesus Christ. And he says here in verse number 10, receive them not. But then look at verse 12. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come to you shortly and speak face to face. Notice this, that our joy may be full. Our joy may be full. He said, you know, I'm excited to come and see you because that's what makes me happy, being with God's people. I remember years ago, there was a lady in a restaurant and we looked over and saw her. It was in McDonald's, and she was with her kids. My wife and I noticed that they prayed, and yet they were having a tough time. The mom got exasperated after a while, and she kind of got a little bit too frustrated. And finally, she looked at her children, and she said, just shut up and eat your Happy Meal. You ever meet a Christian like that? You know, they love the Lord, but it's just not shining through really good. Well, I got to tell you something. John says to her, I want to come and see you that our joy may be full. Now, let me tell you how when you're doing good as a Christian is when you're looking forward to getting to church. Now, I know the devil's going to fight you from coming. He's going to give you a flat tire, a dead battery. But if you're looking forward more to flying those model airplanes than you are getting with God's people, something's not right. Model airplanes are okay. Jesus is great. Okay, bowling's all right. But being with believers is what makes us have joy in our heart. And the reward that we have in the truth is, yes, we have eternal life, but we also have the joy of being with one another here in this life. And God wants us to enjoy that. And he says, hey, don't bring people in that are going to tear down Jesus and tear down the doctrine of Jesus. But he says, what I'm looking forward to is getting together with people who love the Lord Jesus. That's what brings joy into my heart, and how we thank God today, how we thank him for this truth. Now, there you have it, a whole book of the Bible, a whole book of the Bible about one thing, the truth. And I want you to remember, God has shown us this morning our relationship to the truth. That's why we come here to Lancaster Baptist Church. It's not to see who wears what. It's not to see what's going on. We come because we are rooted in Christ, our relationship. And then I want you to see our responsibility. We're to walk in the truth. We're to love and show forth God's love with the truth. We're to warn with the truth. And then our reward. Our reward is a home in heaven and the fellowship God gives us here on this earth. The truth. What are you doing with it?
Well, friend, you've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. We're studying in this series, Rooted in Christ, how to develop a healthy and a strong root system through our relationship with the Lord and our study of His Word, how to become grounded and rooted and settled in our relationship with Him. Friend, do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? That relationship begins the moment you trust Him as Savior, the moment you place your faith in Him. And that happens when you call upon Him in belief and you say, Lord Jesus, I want you to come into my heart and save me from my sin and save me from myself and give me your gift of eternal life. Friend, if you've never made that decision, we encourage you to make that decision right now. It's simple, it's vital, it's the greatest decision you could ever make. And if you have questions, we'd love to talk with you more about it. We do love to hear from listeners, and we enjoy hearing your feedback and knowing that our program is touching your life. There's a couple ways you can get a hold of us. First of all, by toll-free phone number. That is 1-800-201-7748. 1-800-201-7748. 7748, or you can visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. When you visit the website, you can click on the link to email us or get a hold of us. We would love to hear from you. You'll also find many resources that will help you in your spiritual growth and in your relationship with Christ. Many resources that will help you do exactly what we're talking about in our present series, to become rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. And don't forget, you're invited to the Alaska Cruise, August 9th through 16th, 2014. Join Pastor Chapel and guests and friends from all over the country for a week of tremendous Bible teaching and preaching, Christian fellowship, wonderful music, and the beauty and grandeur of Alaska's Inside Passage. You can find out more information about the cruise or reserve your place when you visit again, dailyintheword.org. Don't forget, that's the Alaska Cruise, August 9th through the 16th, 2014. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.